Thank you. Thanks very much. It's a privilege to make a few comments in front of a bassoon and a time machine. It's really good. So I'm going to talk about a dog. And I probably shouldn't, because growing up, I never had one. Our family were Pascoozies, and we don't have dogs. We have better things to do. And so my sister and I never had one. She left for college, and a year later, I left. And I was surprised about a month after I left to get a call from my mom saying that she and my dad got a dog. I said, why'd you do that? Because we're Pascoozies. And she said, well, we had somebody threw a brick through our window, and your father is worried that I may not be secure here. I need a dog for security. And so that was sort of the excuse that they got this Great Dane. They named this puppy Holly, and I'm convinced my dad threw this brick through the window as an excuse to get this dog to replace us, my sister and I. And this was great. When I would come home, had an immediate bond with this thing. No, nothing like it. This dog was, I did nothing for the dog, but the dog was completely loyal and loving and incredible, just incredible. The I'm allergic to things with hair, including dogs, and all of them, and this dog was no exception. So heavy allergies, but I got to tell you, this was the most wonderful animal. And I would lay down with this thing, and we'd take naps together, and I'd start to scratch, and just face would blow up like a beach ball, and just hives, everything else, wheezing. But it was worth it. This dog was just great. And we'd nap together. I'd have all this like fluid coming out of my head from the allergies, and I'd wake up to this dog licking my face, and that would make the allergies worse, but it was really worth it. So that's great. I learned a lot from this dog. Dog had a few interesting behaviors, one of it which was it liked to eat some things. It was a Great Dane. My dad would bring home leftovers from the noon meetings, and the leftovers were from McDonald's. Can you say that? So he would bring home the four Big Macs that had not been consumed. And when he brought them home at night, he would feed them to Holly. It was one bite at a time, to one bite, a full Big Mac. It was incredible, just incredible. A second memorable food source for this dog was light bulbs. She lived indoors, big old dog, but she lived inside. Everybody loved her, but she would get into things and eat them. So she had this fondness for light bulbs. And I couldn't believe, she'd get into a box of these things. It wasn't just a bulb, it was like a box of bulbs. And I think it was something about the texture and the crunch that she would, you could hear these things. She would chew them up. She would swallow all the glass. But she was very careful. She would always spit out the metallic hub of the light bulb. There'd be a pile of eight of these metal pieces, but she'd swallow all this glass, and she was happy, never had any kind of bleeding or anything. She was great with it. It just incredible, that the mystical behavior. So this incredible type of affection for this thing, unbelievable. And my parents loved this dog, just incredible, Holly. And then it all came to a screeching halt, and this is sort of where the thing gets really serious, and I've never been in this position before. This is the dog. One day, I was actually there in the home, supposed to take care of the dog, and I was distracted by something, I guess. But the dog made its way to the basement, and she came across a box of road flares. And she sampled a couple and then ate the whole box. And so this was bad. There was nothing left but like the box that said road flares and some little sticks. So when my dad got home, I said, you know, you're missing a box of road flares. Holly ate them. I didn't take them. She ate them. And so I've rarely seen him this upset. He was stern. He wasn't mad at me, but I thought he would be. But he was just... He appeared concerned, very worried. And so he was like reading some stuff off the label of these road flares. And he basically said, look, I got to tell you something. Holly's going to die. So my dad, he was a pathologist. So one thing he knows is death. That's what he does. And that's his thing. So he said, These flares have phosphorus in them. It's the kind of phosphorus that in these levels will be toxic and it will cause sudden death. What happens in phosphorus poisoning is you walk around looking pretty good, feeling great for a day or two, and boom, you collapse like a rag doll and you're done. It's all over. And there's nothing you can do. So I said, well, let's go to the vet and blah, blah, blah. I said, nah, it's not going to help. There's nothing you can do. She's going to look great for a day or two and then just keel over and that's going to be the end of it. So say your goodbyes now. So we did. We all like hugged her and cried and everybody's upset. This is a great dog, this mystical animal. And we waited and kind of held vigil and she plopped around, did her own thing, looked pretty good. And a day went by, 2 days went by. And she didn't die. She did not die. She did not keel over like a rag doll. She was fine. She actually survived. This mystical beast, this incredible thing, she was more than a bunch of molecules and biological agents. She was incredible. So she did not get the sudden death from phosphorus poisoning causing her heart to stop. But she did get the other common syndrome that you see from phosphorus poisoning. That was, in its own way, equally amazing. And that's what they call the smoking stool syndrome. And so for 4 days, her stools, they were associated with this cloud of smoky mist that would rise for a couple blocks. Everybody in our neighborhood had to come see this. This was like Jesus coming back. And it was one of the most amazing and mystical things in our neighborhood in South Bend. And that's something that made me appreciate her powers even more. Thank you very much.